Imagine just, waking up on a random Tuesday, logging into your business bank account to run payroll, and finding a zero balance.
Oh man, yeah, a total zero.
Literally every cent is gone. Your funds have been frozen by a court order. And why? Because you lost a massive lawsuit that you never even knew existed.
Right, which is just the ultimate nightmare scenario for any entrepreneur.
Exactly. And all of this catastrophe unfolded simply because you missed a single piece of mail while you were out, like, getting a cup of coffee.
Yeah, we spend so much time romanticizing the launch of a company, right? We focus entirely on the offense.
Oh, absolutely. Marketing, sales, the disruptive product.
Exactly. We
Yeah.
pour our energy into the things that are visible and exciting, completely ignoring the structural vulnerabilities we create in the process.
Which brings us to today. Welcome back to another deep dive. We are so thrilled to have you here with us. As the ultimate learner, you are probably always looking for that underlying truth of how the world actually functions behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's what we do here.
So today, our mission is to uncover the hidden, critical machinery that keeps businesses legally afloat. Starting a company isn't just about what you sell or, how sleek your logo is.
Far from it.
There is a vital legal foundation that is almost universally overlooked until it just spectacularly fails.
Right. And our core objective today is to decode a very specific mandated role in the business world, which is the registered
The
agent.
registered agent, yeah.
We're going to examine the strict statutory requirements behind this role, the severe mechanisms of the legal system that enforce it, and, well, the surprisingly high stakes involved when a business owner decides who to trust with their most sensitive legal paperwork.
And to navigate this, we've pulled together a really fascinating stack of sources. We're examining the operational materials and website disclosures from Lafayette Process Servers LLC, who operate locally as Baton Rouge Process Servers.
Which is a great local example.
Yeah, and we're also looking at their jurisdictional and legal disclosures, which outline exactly what they are authorized to do under Louisiana law. Plus, we've got some excerpts from a show called Paper Trails.
Hosted by their founder, Scott Frank, right?
Exactly. He's a professional with over 2 decades of experience in corporate compliance and service of process.
And his platform provides this uniquely grounded perspective on the day-to-day realities of the judicial system. It strips away the theoretical business school advice.
It gets right down to it.
Yeah, it looks at the gritty mechanics of how lawsuits are actually delivered and processed.
Which is so needed. And there is a detail from the paper trail source material that I think sets the thematic stage perfectly.
Oh, what's that?
In the intro to his show, Scott Frank actually mentions their local business sponsor, a company called 337 Media.
Okay, yeah.
They're an agency that builds websites and handles local SEO for brands in the Acadiana region.
You know, that juxtaposition is incredibly telling, really. You have
Yep.
337 Media building the public face of the business.
Right, the flashy stuff.
Exactly. The engine designed to attract attention, drive traffic, generate revenue. They represent the visible offense.
And professionals like Baton Rouge Process Servers provide that invisible structural armor behind the scenes.
Precisely. Businesses will eagerly write a massive check to build their website, but they often try to cut corners on the private shield that protects that very asset.
Which is wild. So today we are focusing on that shield. Okay, let's unpack this. When you form an LLC or a corporation in Louisiana, the Secretary of State requires you to name a registered agent immediately upon formation.
Immediately. It is a non-negotiable prerequisite.
Right. Think of it like this. It's like having a designated goalie for your business. You might be incredibly busy playing offense, meeting clients, developing software, running your restaurant.
But someone has to be standing at the net at all time.
Exactly. In case a lawsuit, a subpoena, or an official state document gets fired your way.
And what's fascinating here is the sheer rigidity of the legal requirements surrounding that goalie. That's where things start to get really complex.
Because it's not just a casual suggestion, right?
No, not at all. The state of Louisiana does not just ask nicely for a preferred email address or like a PO box. By law, a registered agent must have a physical Louisiana street address,
A real tangible building.
a real building, and even more stringently, they must be physically present and available during all standard 9-to-5 business hours to receive official legal documents.
Wait, so every single business day?
Every single one.
No locking the door for an hour to grab lunch? No closing early on a Friday?
No, continual uninterrupted presence. The why behind this law is basically the absolute cornerstone of our entire judicial system.
Okay, break that down for me.
It comes down to the constitutional guarantee of due process. The state needs a guaranteed, undeniable mechanism to contact a business entity. If an individual or a company sues a corporation, they have a fundamental right to notify that corporation of the impending legal action.
Right, you can't just sue someone in secret.
Exactly. If the court cannot reliably reach a business, if they cannot physically hand a legally binding piece of paper to an authorized representative, the entire apparatus of justice grinds to a halt.
Because due process cannot be executed without a reliable point of contact.
You nailed it.
Which makes logical sense. You cannot have corporations operating in the shadows,
Yo.
Effectively immune to litigation, simply because the mail carrier, you know, cannot locate them.
Right.
But I have to push back here. If I am an entrepreneur bootstrapping a startup, watching every single penny, my first instinct is going to be to put down my own home address.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I work remotely. I am at my kitchen table most of the day anyway. Why wouldn't I just designate myself as the agent and save the annual fee?
It is honestly the single most common justification new business owners make. But our sources systematically dismantle it by exposing two massive risks.
Okay, let's hear the first one.
Let's look at the first privacy. The moment you list your home address as your registered agent address on your incorporation documents, it enters the public record.
Oh, well. So anyone can see it.
Anyone. It is permanently searchable on the Secretary of State's database by literally anyone with an internet connection.
That's actually kind of terrifying.
It is. Disgruntled clients, aggressive salespeople, or even just unstable members of the public now have the exact geographic coordinates of where you and your family sleep at night.
Okay. That immediately changes the calculus. The illusion of separating your personal life from your business life just vanishes the second your home address is plastered on government database.
Yep. It's out there.
But let's play devil's advocate for a second. Let's assume I live alone. I don't care about privacy, and I am just stubbornly committed to saving that money.
Okay, well, then you run headfirst into the physical availability problem. Remember that strict 9-to-5 mandate we talked about?
The uninterrupted presence.
Exactly. You must be available every single day. And the reality of human life makes that impossible.
Because eventually you have to, like, buy groceries.
Right. You'll step out to buy groceries, attend a doctor's appointment, pick up a child from school. If a process server arrives at your home with a lawsuit during that 20-minute window and you are not there, you miss the service attempt.
Let's drill down into the mechanics of that. What actually happens in the legal system when I miss that knock on the door? Is it just a bureaucratic delay?
I wish. The structural consequences are devastating. If a plaintiff attempts to serve you and fails, they can return to the judge and demonstrate that you are either evading service or failing to maintain a proper registered agent.
And the judge just accepts that.
Well, the judge can then grant what is known as a default judgment.
Wait, meaning the person suing me wins by default simply because I didn't show up to the fight?
Yes. The court proceeds without your defense. A judge assesses the plaintiff's claims, agrees with them, and awards damages against your business.
Oh, my God.
And then the administrative machinery kicks in, and the court issues a writ of garnishment to your bank.
Wow, that brings us right back to your opening scenario.
Exactly. The first time you even realize you were involved in a lawsuit could be the exact moment you discover your business accounts are frozen to pay a judgment you never had the opportunity to contest.
Okay, so acting as your own agent is basically the equivalent of playing Russian roulette with your company's assets.
It really is.
But the sources also address the other extreme. The moment you register an LLC, your inbox is just flooded with solicitations from massive national online legal services.
Oh, constantly.
Yeah, offering to act as your agent for what looks like pocket change.
Right, but the sources refer to this phenomenon as the faceless illusion.
The faceless illusion, I like that.
Costing for a massive national chain is presented as a subtle but critical operational error. These companies operate on a volume-based business model.
So they're just churning through clients.
Exactly. They run out of colossal out-of-state call centers. They maintain a token, bare minimum address in Louisiana just to satisfy the statutory requirement.
Right, just to check the box.
But the actual processing of your critical legal documents happens in a sorting facility thousands of miles away.
Using a national mail forwarding service for your urgent legal documents feels a bit like using a game of telephone to negotiate a hostage situation.
That is a perfect way to put it.
The delay and the distance just strip away all the necessary urgency. But how does that delay actually harm a business owner in practice?
It all comes down to the strict timelines dictated by civil procedure. When a lawsuit is filed and served, a countdown clock immediately begins ticking.
How much time do you actually have?
Well, in many Louisiana jurisdictions, you only have 15 days to file a formal response.
15 days? That's nothing.
Now imagine this. If your legal documents are delivered to a national chain's token address in Baton Rouge, then bundled and shipped to a processing center in Nevada, then scanned into a queue.
Oh man, the clock is ticking this whole time.
Right. And finally emailed to you 5 or 6 days later, you have just lost nearly half of your legally allotted time to defend yourself.
That's terrifying. You now have only a few days to find an attorney, analyze the lawsuit, and draft a response before you risk that exact same default judgment we discussed earlier.
Exactly.
So if the DIY route leaves your family exposed and the national chains leave your business bleeding precious time, business owners are kind of forced to find a middle ground.
Right. You need something better.
How do you secure a localized physical presence without sacrificing privacy or speed? Well, the sources point toward what they call the gold standard solution.
Yes, utilizing a local state-certified professional.
Right. And the Louisiana Secretary of State actively certifies professional registered agents, don't they?
They do. Companies like Lafayette Process Servers undergo this certification to prove they maintain a functioning, continuously staffed office that strictly adheres to those rigorous legal requirements.
Here's where it gets really interesting. When you look at the specific protocols of Baton Rouge Process Servers, they don't operate like a passive mailbox at all.
Not even close.
They maintain a secure, physical office right at 301 Main Street in the heart of Baton Rouge. But it is their rapid response mechanism that truly highlights the difference between a local professional and a national call center.
Yeah, the mechanism of their response is designed entirely around mitigating risk.
So the moment they receive a lawsuit on behalf of a client, they scan it immediately.
Instantly.
They email it to the business owner, but they don't just rely on the hope that it doesn't end up in a spam folder. They utilize a read receipt request.
Which is smart.
And taking it a step further, they actually physically pick up the phone and call the client.
That phone call is the vital differentiator in this industry. It provides the human element necessary to ensure the business owner fully comprehends that a legal deadline has just been activated.
Because an automated email from a national chain does not convey urgency.
No, it just blends in with your daily spam. But a phone call from a local professional saying, "You have been served, the clock is ticking, you need to contact your attorney," fundamentally changes the client's readiness.
We talk a lot on this show about the concept of EET experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trust. That framework seems perfectly applicable here.
It really does. Your registered agent is quite literally your business's first line of defense.
Yeah. There is a quote in the sources from Brad B., a business attorney based in Baton Rouge.
I remember that.
He notes that he uses Scott's team as the agent for all his LLCs because they are incredibly fast with notifications, but more importantly, because they are local experts who intimately know the Baton Rouge courts.
And that localized knowledge is far more than a marketing bullet point, you know. It translates to tangible operational value.
How so?
Well, the team at Lafayette Process Server spends every single day inside the 19th Judicial District Court, the 19th JDC, and the Baton Rouge City Court.
So they're actually on the ground.
Yes. They interact with the clerks. They understand the procedural nuances of the building. They know the critical legal distinction between a simple summons and an urgent subpoena. If a document arrives with a procedural error, a local expert can often identify the anomaly immediately. A call center employee 3 states away simply scans the paper without understanding its context within the 19th JDC.
That makes total sense. And if you're a listener running a business in a suburb, you might think you are somewhat removed from that downtown legal machinery.
You might think so, yeah.
But looking at the coverage area listed in the sources, it is incredibly vast. They operate across the entire Baton Rouge, Metro, Zachary, Baker, Central, Port Allen, Denham Springs, Gonzales, Prairieville, Walker, Plaquemine, Brusly, and Addis, and St. Gabriel.
It's a huge footprint.
They actually cover all 64 parishes in Louisiana. Why is that deep localized penetration across so many distinct municipalities necessary?
Because liability does not respect city limits. A lawsuit against a construction company operating out of St. Gabriel is still governed by the same overarching state laws as a tech startup in downtown Baton Rouge.
Right.
Having an agent who understands the geography of where business actually happens ensures that court documents flow seamlessly, regardless of where the physical assets of the business are located.
We have thoroughly established the defensive side of the equation. catching the lawsuits as they come in. But the sources also delve into the offensive side of their operations, which is the actual serving of the legal papers.
Yeah, that's a whole other world.
And this raises an aspect of the industry I find endlessly fascinating. The sources mention a process called skip tracing.
Ah, yes. Skip tracing.
This is the methodology used to track down someone who has skipped town or is actively evading a lawsuit.
It introduces the investigative component of the profession, which is often heavily misunderstood by the public.
When I see a term like court-appointed process server, and I read about them hunting down evasive defendants, my mind immediately jumps to police powers.
Of course it does.
I picture a badge, a gun, and, like, access to classified government databases. If they're out there tracking people down, do they operate like law enforcement?
This raises an important question, but the media certainly portrays it that way. The legal boundaries, however, are absolute.
Okay, so what are the actual rules?
The sources provide very explicit legal disclosures regarding their jurisdictional authority, specifically to dispel this myth. Lafayette Process Servers, LLC, are explicitly not law enforcement.
Not law enforcement at all.
They do not possess police powers. They cannot execute a traffic stop. They cannot detain an individual. And they absolutely cannot make an arrest.
The disclosures specifically cite their authorization under the Louisiana Code of Civil Procedure, specifically CCP Article 1293.
Right.
Looking at this, it seems less like a badge granting them unlimited power and more like a very strict leash limiting exactly what they can do.
That is the perfect way to contextualize it. Article 1293 grants them authority that is highly specific and issued by the court for one singular defined purpose.
Which is delivering legal documents to satisfy the requirements of due process.
Exactly. The disclosures also emphatically clarify that they do not offer legal advice, as they are not attorneys, and crucially, they do not operate as general private investigators for the public.
Meaning a jealous spouse cannot simply hire them to track down a partner.
Nope.
And I cannot pay them to find out where my old college roommate moved.
Correct. Any skip tracing or investigative work they perform is executed strictly in connection with an active process service under court appointment.
Ah, so it has to be tied to a case.
Yes. If a judge has mandated that an individual must be served a civil lawsuit and that individual is actively hiding, Scott Frank's team will deploy their specialized tools. But it is highly regulated, purposeful work.
Let's break down the mechanism of that skip tracing then. If they don't have access to classified police wiretaps or criminal databases, how do they actually locate someone who does not want to be found?
They utilize open source intelligence, often referred to as OSINT.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, combined with specialized aggregated public record databases. It functions much more like forensic accounting combined with digital footprint analysis.
Oh, that's interesting.
They cross-reference utility billing records, property tax assessments, change of address registries, and vehicle lien databases.
So it's all data-driven.
Completely. If a defendant evades service and moves to a new parish, they might register a new vehicle or set up a new electricity account. The skip tracer finds those data points, builds a geographical profile, and locates the individual entirely through legal, public-facing breadcrumbs.
It is really about protecting the integrity of the civil justice system.
It is.
If an individual could successfully nullify a lawsuit simply by ignoring the doorbell or moving to a different apartment, the entire concept of civil liability would collapse.
Precisely. The court appoints these professionals to pierce through that evasion, but they must do so strictly within the bounds of civil procedure, utilizing data rather than force.
They operate as officers of the court's process, maintaining a firm boundary that separates civil procedure from criminal law enforcement.
And that strict adherence to their mandate is precisely why they are implicitly trusted by the business attorneys who rely on them.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? We began this deep dive by examining the hidden machinery of the business world.
Right.
Whether you are an aspiring entrepreneur sketching out a business plan on a napkin, or you are simply an incredibly curious learner trying to comprehend the hidden structures that hold our society together, the core takeaway here fundamentally shifts how you should view corporate infrastructure.
The foundation of a legally sound enterprise is not just the innovative product you bring to market or the sophisticated website you commission.
It's much deeper than that.
It is fundamentally about who is standing guard to protect your legal right to operate.
It is about ensuring you have a professional, state-certified expert planted firmly at a physical desk, utilizing localized expertise to catch whatever the legal system throws your way. And the most remarkable part of this entire analysis is that if you are a business owner realizing right now that your foundation is cracked, perhaps you are relying on a faceless national chain, or you mistakenly listed your own living room on your incorporation documents.
Which so many people do.
We really do. But fixing this massive vulnerability is shockingly simple.
It requires nothing more than filing a change of registered agent form with the Louisiana Secretary of State.
The team at Baton Rouge Process Servers will even facilitate the filing for you. It is a minor administrative task, a tiny shift in paperwork, but the peace of mind it secures is just monumental.
Oh, absolutely.
You eliminate the risk of default judgments. You reclaim your family's privacy. You get to go back to playing offense, building your business, knowing that your defense is completely impenetrable.
There is a final lingering thought from all of this that I find genuinely profound.
Oh, what's that?
Well, we exist in an era that is relentlessly digital. We champion cloud-based infrastructure, digital nomads, and remote workforces.
Oh, definitely.
A founder can spin up a global company from a laptop in a coffee shop. Everything about modern commerce feels entirely virtual.
We trade digital currency and host our data on servers halfway across the globe.
Right. And yet, despite all of that technological abstraction, isn't it fascinating that the entire weight of our judicial system, the ultimate authority that dictates whether a business survives or is dismantled, still has entirely on undeniable physical reality?
Wow. Yeah.
At the end of the day, justice cannot be executed via an automated email or a cloud server. It demands a real human being standing at a tangible street address like 301 Main Street, ready to accept a physical piece of paper.
That's a powerful thought.
In a world utterly obsessed with the virtual, it makes you wonder what other analog anchors are out there, quietly holding the fragile systems of our digital lives together.